She was quite beautiful. She knelt near the small low table behind which, cross-legged, in the hall of Samos, I sat. At this table, too, cross-legged, sat Samos. He faced me. It was early evening in Port Car, and I had supped with Samos, first captain in the Council of Captains, that Congress of Captains sovereign in Port Car. The hall was lit with burning torches. It contained the great map mosaic. We had been served our supper by the collared slave who knelt near us. I glanced at her. She wore a one-piece tunic of repcloth, cut high at the thighs, to better reveal them, her steel collar, which was a lock collar, and her brand. The brand was the common Kajira mark of Gaul, the first letter, about an inch and a half in height and a half inch in width, in cursive script, of the expression Kajira, which is the most common expression in Gaurian for a female slave. It is a simple mark and rather floral, a staff with two upturned frond-like curls joined where they touch the staff on its right. It bears a distant resemblance to the printed letter K in several of the Western alphabets of Earth, and I suspect, in spite of several differences, it may owe its origin to that letter. The Gaurian alphabet has 28 characters, all of which, I suspect, owe their origin to one or another of the alphabets of Earth. Several show a clear-cut resemblance to Greek letters, for example. Sij, on the other hand, could be cuneiform, and Tun and Val are probably calligraphically drifted from Demotic. At least six letters suggest influence by the classical Roman alphabet, and seven do, if we count Kef, the first letter in Kajira. Shu is represented by a sign which seems clearly oriental in origin, and Homan, I speculate, may derive from Cretan. Many Gaurian letters have a variety of pronunciations, depending on their linguistic context. Certain scribes have recommended adding to the Gaurian alphabet new letters to independently represent some of these sounds, which now require alternative pronunciations, context-dependent, of given letters. Their recommendations, it seems, are unlikely to be incorporated into formal Gaurian. In matters such as those of the alphabet, conservatism seems unshakable. For example, there is not likely to be additions or deletions to the alphabets of Earth, regardless of the rationality of such an alteration in given cases. An example of the conservatism in such matters is that Gaurians, and indeed many of those of the Earth, are taught their alphabets in an order which bears no rational relation whatsoever to the occurrence pattern of the letters. That children should be taught the alphabet in an order which reflects the frequency of the occurrence of the letters in the language and thus would expedite their learning, appears to be too radical and offensive an idea to become acceptable. Consider too, for example, the opposition to an arithmetically convenient system of measurement in certain quarters on Earth, apparently because of the unwillingness to surrender the techniques of tradition, so painfully acquired so long ago.
"Do masters desire aught else of Linda?" asked the girl.
"No," said Samos. She put her small hand on the table, as though to reach to him, to beg his touch. "No," said Samos. She withdrew, head down. She picked up the small tray from the stand near the table. On it was the small vessel containing a thick, sweet liqueur from distant Turia, the R of the South, and the two tiny glasses from which we had sipped it. On the tray, too, was the metal vessel which had contained the black wine, steaming and bitter, from far Thentis, famed for its tarnflocks, the small yellow enameled cups from which we had drunk the black wine, its spoons and sugars, a tiny bowl of mint sticks, and the softened, dampened cloths on which we had wiped our fingers. I had eaten well. She stood up. She held the tray. The gleaming collar, snug and locked, was very beautiful on her throat. I remembered her from several months ago when I had first seen her, when she had had about her throat only a simple collar of iron, curved about her throat by the blows of a metalworker's hammer. She looked at Samos. Her lip trembled. She had been the girl who had brought to the house of Samos the message of the Cytale. The Cytale had been a marked hair ribbon. Wrapped about the shaft of a spear, thus aligning the marks, the message had appeared.